Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to be talking about the disease of partial integrity. So you might be going, okay, huh? Well, here's our goal. Let me just state our goal. Integrity builds trust, and trust is essential for good relationships. We're all about relationships, Chris. Tell me recently some things that you were thinking of, which sort of led to the development of this topic.
Well, this is how my brain tends to work.
Oh, let me take notes.
Yeah, this is important. I may be working out. I may be cleaning the house. I may be taking a walk, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'll be processing something like my childhood.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be thinking about, wow, you know what? I don't remember this happening, or this did happen. And then I start taking notes, and voila, it's about
voila.
Voila. And it's like, let's be people of integrity.
Yeah.
Because I've seen how it's impacted my life.
Yeah. Well, you were telling me a couple of instances, especially relating to your parents.
My parents.
Yeah.
My parents have both passed away. And this, again, I've said this on numerous podcast episodes, I think, but this is no disrespect. These are just stating facts. So we have two choices in life. We can go, oh, if I mention that, it's disrespectful. It's the motive of our hearts, I believe, and how we say it. So I can state something that's a fact. My parents did or did not do that.
Right.
And it hurt me.
Right.
That's a fact. Or I can be angry about it, hang on to that, and
malign them,
their reputation. That's not what I'm doing. Yeah. So I think that's important for me to preface that. So
right. So you were contemplating the fact that you really couldn't count on your parents. Give us a couple examples.
Right. And as I look back, it's been a pattern my whole life with my parents that way. So when I was, I believe, 7th and 8th grade, I went to work at a restaurant and I washed dishes. My mother was a waitress there, and she said, hey, do you want to, they're looking for a part-time dishwasher on the weekends. Again, I'm 7th and 8th grade. That's okay.
Sure.
I was a hard worker, and I thought, I like making my own money. You know, we're very poor, so I thought, I can earn my own money and do these things. I did that for about 2 years. And I was saving my money at the time for, this was a big deal, I wanted my own bicycle, a 10-speed.
A 10-speed bicycle.
And
wow.
I wanted quality, so I knew it was going to cost some money, so I began to put money aside in savings, I thought. So my mom said, we have a bank account. We'll put have a savings account just for you. So I'm putting money away. I'm handing basically my paycheck over to my
mom
every week. So the time comes for me to purchase the 10-speed bike. I'm so excited. We go into town. My mom has me going to the bank by myself. And I want to withdraw, I don't know how much I said, maybe all of it.
The entirety of your savings.
The entirety of my savings. I was so excited to get that bike that day. The, what do you call the clerk?
Teller.
She gave me a few quarters, I think all it was. And had
and
me
this
sign.
Is, you're expecting 2 years of savings.
When, I don't know for sure, but enough to buy a really nice 10-speed.
Right.
Anyway, and she gives me coins, and she gives me a piece of paper to sign that I'm withdrawing my savings. And I was so naive. I was young.
Sure.
I didn't question this at all, but I was so confused. So I thought, well, my mom will explain it to me. I went out to the car. I said, Mom, I don't understand. I went to withdraw my savings for the bike, and she gave me a few quarters. It was at that point my mom said, well, I've been meaning to tell you, we've had to spend that to purchase some things and pay some bills. Now, why am I talking about that? As a young man, what that did for me is so quickly go, I've been lied to by my parents. I worked so hard, and I was told every week, your savings is growing.
Right.
And I wanted to buy this. Something was so important to me. So it actually, it wasn't about the bike at the end of the day.
Right.
It was, in a sense.
It was your mom's word.
It was the relationship. And my dad.
And your dad.
It was him as well. But it really, not that we had a great relationship, but it really did a lot of internal damage.
Was this your first, I don't think my mom's a person of complete integrity at 7th grade?
This was 8th grade at this point. No, I had seen aspects of it.
Okay.
But you don't want to believe that about your parents.
Sure. This was kind of the in your face.
It's like, wow. It hurt me so deeply. And this ties into some other episodes we're going to do about feeling connected to your parents, how important it is.
Well, this is when you saw, okay, this isn't a one-off here and there. This is a pattern.
This is the pattern. Well, I did and I did not. Okay, there was no one to process it with. In fact, I was told, well, we'll pay you back with an attitude, basically.
Yeah.
And I had to just basically suck it up. And we went home and there was no bike to be purchased.
I'm sorry.
And it was never spoken of again. So why do I share that story? Guys, I don't feel bad about it today. It's unfortunate.
I still feel a little bad.
Well, okay, maybe a little bad.
It makes me sad.
But I'm not angry about it. That was years ago. But I'm actually sad at the lack of relationship.
Because of their lack of integrity.
Lack of integrity. It really did damage. So I'm telling you that. If you're a parent, it makes a difference.
What we're going to be talking about today is inconsistency, patterns of behavior. So you saw those patterns of behavior. Fast forward now to many years later at a family reunion.
Many years later, we were together for a family reunion at a lake. Siblings were coming in, other people coming in, the grandkids.
First time in years.
In years.
Everybody's been together.
We were living out of the country. We were back that summer. You know, you're getting excited to see everyone. And unfortunately, my mom and stepdad, they're both passed on, as I said, but they decided at the very last minute, the day we're supposed to all arrive, we're not coming.
Right.
And there was no explanation. It's just, we're not coming. And to see the look on some of the grandchildren's faces.
Sure.
I remember being angry about that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
But it was a pattern that you had grown accustomed to.
At this point, I wasn't surprised by it. I was still irritated and angry, but I kind of expected it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my point. I don't guess. Here is my point.
Yeah.
We don't want to be people where people look at us and go, you know what? Probably can't trust that person fully. A good person, right?
Right.
In some good ways.
And we're going to talk about later how that then affects relationships. So let's go on.
Okay.
Those are some family examples, but you said thinking about your parents and thought, well, good grief. I've seen this situation. You listed some other situations where you discovered you couldn't really count on some people.
Okay, here's what can happen. And it did happen to me. And I still have to look in the mirror and go, okay, wait a minute. Don't superimpose what you were given by your parents or not given
onto other people. Sure.
Be careful with assumptions.
Right.
So recently, I had to have a large tree removed out of our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend said, I recommend this guy. And so he came out and he did a great job. It was a lot of hard work. So we paid to have it done, but we also paid to have the tree stump ground out because we were having a patio put in and we could not move forward with the patio being put in until the tree stump is gone.
Right. It was a whole thing.
Whole thing. So this impacts this, which impacts that.
Sure.
Life tends to be that way.
Right.
So the tree guy, that sounds professional, the tree guy, he said, we'll be back in 2 weeks or less to remove the stump.
Yep.
2 weeks came and passed, so I sent a message.
4 weeks came and passed.
Well, but after 2 weeks, I thought, okay, let me make sure I understood. Oh, yes, we'll get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Another week or two passed. In fact, I don't know how long. It was several weeks.
A long time.
And I was very patient, guys, and I was very professional and kind. But I said, guys, we cannot move forward on our patio until this is done. We've already paid you for this. They eventually paid another guy to come out and remove it.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I tell you that story? I want to use this tree guy again, partially. They were really good, but they didn't follow through. And I had to pursue them to get something done I'd already paid for.
Again, you saw another pattern of behavior. That's what we're talking about.
Where's the
today?
Integrity here?
Right. So what we're doing today is kind of likening partial integrity as a disease. So let me give you some words that help illuminate the thought of a disease. It's an illness, a sickness, infection, ailment, disorder, affliction. So just like we don't allow a disease to stay in our bodies if we can help it, if you have an illness, the doctor asks you for what your symptoms are, he gives you a diagnosis, and then you want to rid yourself of the disease. So that's what we think of with partial integrity. Are you a person of integrity? If so, just like the doctor asks you your symptoms to diagnose a disease, what is your proof or your symptoms, if you will, that you operate in integrity?
I'm the one that came up with this title, and I realize this, but you look at this title.
Yeah.
The disease of partial integrity.
Yep.
I don't have an answer right now. Is there such a thing as partial integrity, or is integrity integrity?
If you don't got it, you don't.
I mean, got I don't. Like, you're a really good person, and you handle things like you say you would, Will, in this area, but not in this area. I don't know. It's just, be thinking about that.
Right.
Can you have partial integrity?
Let's talk about assessing your level of integrity. So what we're talking about is that you never keep your word. So at times we're all going to be guilty of not doing, yeah, I'll call you next Tuesday, and next Tuesday rolls by and we don't call it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about some pitfalls, however, to avoid that could allow others to see you as a person who lacks integrity. So let's say you are a person of integrity, and for the most part, you do what you say you're going to do. However, are there certain things that keep you from following through in what you say you're going to do or you desire to do? What causes that? So we've come up with some things, some pitfalls, where perhaps you can assess yourself. For number one, fear. Do you let fear keep you from following through? That's going to affect your integrity. So at work, if you're asked to do a project, yes, I can do that, but you're so afraid that you can't do that, therefore you don't do it, you could be seen as someone who lacks integrity. Thoughts on that?
Well, this list I came up with, they tend to come from my life.
Yeah.
And so let's just get real. I can come across as a parent or a parent. Let's get real.
Yeah.
A person who doesn't have, I have integrity. I really do.
Yeah.
But I've seen this in my life, these aspects we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's look at number two. These are some things that might prevent you from following through and therefore
being seen
as a person who lacks integrity. A lack of genuine confidence that you have what it takes. You know, I think back over my work career, I have worked with people who weren't confident in a certain area. And so in a meeting, when assignments are being distributed, they're like, yeah, I can do that. But I knew darn well that person had no confidence
you
in that area.
You knew darn well.
I knew darn well that person had no confidence in that area. And sure enough, they didn't come through in that. Instead of either asking for the help that they needed or whatever, they just dropped the ball. Having a lack of confidence can come across as partial integrity. What about other people's expectations or success not seen as attainable? Or failure? What happens if you fail? Any thoughts on those things? Those might be the reasons why you don't follow
through. Again, these could be reasons that you appear as not being a person of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you are, as you're listening to this episode. I hope you're a person of integrity. What we're trying to do is get you to take an assessment. Do I have partial integrity with some people? Do I have complete integrity?
Mm-hmm.
And again, there may be reasons that you come across a certain way that you actually don't want to.
Right. And again, we're not saying, we're talking about over time, are these patterns? Do you agree to do something knowing full well you're not going to do it because you're afraid or there's a fear factor, your whatever, a lack of self-confidence? If they're patterns of behavior, that's worth taking some time to look into.
I've seen patterns in leaders, other people that I would do business with.
Mm-hmm.
We have a conversation, we shake hands, there are smiles involved. There's a good feeling, right?
Yeah.
And no follow-through after that.
Yeah.
And you go,
that's disappointing.
Oh, what happened there? And I can be quick to point the finger and go, that's irritating. Are they not people of integrity? And then I can be going through my emails and go, I never responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were waiting on that. I overlooked it or I pushed it aside for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'll get back to it. So there's instances.
Yeah.
And there are some situations where people are not going to do what they say.
Right.
There's both.
Sure. So let's examine a few of the consequences. What are you forfeiting when you don't follow through? And again, we're talking about habitually not following through. A couple of the consequences could be you're seen as a person who's not dependable. That could be a natural consequence. Or someone who's not trustworthy, like you gave in your example. You then came to learn, okay, when my mom says this, I'm not really going to depend on her because it's probably not going to happen.
And at the time when you're growing up, I don't think we're really processing. I didn't. We're not processing it that way.
But fast forward to the family reunion when you're a 50-something-year-old man, you go, yeah, she's probably not going to.
Then I did, but even as a kid, I wasn't able to process these kind of thoughts.
Sure.
At the same time, I wasn't counting on my parents. Hey, Mom, can I do this?
Right.
Yes. in the back of my mind, I was going, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That had already begun to happen. I just didn't have words for it.
Sure. So another consequence is you could be seen as immature, or your reputation could be like, oh, you know, like our tree guy. the person who referred us, he did an excellent job, but she did preface. Now,
you're
when
right.
it comes to grind the stump, it may take him a hot minute, and sure enough, it did. So he's got a reputation of, now when he comes to do part B, it might be
take a while.
So,
and yet, I talked with him.
Hard
worker. I think he's a quality guy.
Right.
And so I don't want to come across as critical.
Well, we're not given his name or number.
Right. But we want to, at the same time, we want to be seen and known and thought of as people of integrity.
Right. Let's finish this list of some things that you forfeit for not being a person of integrity. It actually can affect your relationships. So, for example, I know from my own experience, when somebody has failed to follow through habitually, I don't tell them everything. I only tell them certain things. I may even put up a wall like, you know what? I'm not going to tell them this because I don't know that they're going to.
Because the pattern or history says this.
Right. I don't trust you completely, so therefore I'm not going to share all my stuff with you. That's going to be a relationship for you as the receiver of that.
And that's, a consequence.
Right. And then here is you made this point earlier about the tree guy. Because of not being able to count on your parents, you then project it on the tree guy. He's not somebody. Yeah, people may project, or you may begin to project your untrust, or you can't count on somebody.
Because this is Real Life Mentoring Podcast.
Yeah.
We talk about real life. And so that's even years ago, that would happen with me towards you.
Mm.
I'm thinking, is Christina really going to follow through on this? Or, and I wouldn't have said it.
How rude.
But it's in my mind. Again,
yeah.
our brains can be formed a certain way.
Sure.
And
we tend to look at all people as like,
they have to be rewired sometimes because it's not across the board.
Here's a thought. A lack of integrity, you're actually being a liar.
Whoa.
Our culture is so, hey, let's do lunch. I'll call you. When you know you're probably not going to call, you're lying. It gets on my nerves. So be a person of integrity.
What's interesting, as children,
yeah.
I remember someone would say something, you're out playing in the yard, and they'd say something. And
you're
say,
a liar.
You big liar.
Right.
Not just a liar, you big liar.
You big liar.
Yeah.
What if we start doing that when people don't follow through? You're a big liar.
Okay, that would be my, probably not an email to respond to that way.
But okay, well, we want to end with a positive note. So what are some everyday ways you can live out your integrity, if this is maybe an area that you struggle in? Okay, you're a mom and dad. Little Johnny has a program at school. If you promise little Johnny you're going to be there, show up. So simple.
Let's say something happens on the job and you can't make it. Then you sit
then
down
you
with them.
Then you make it right. Yeah.
And you say, you know what? This happened. That's why I wasn't there. But they know it's not a pattern at some point.
Right. A friend loans you $5 to grab a coffee because you forgot your wallet. Pay the $5 back. Be a person of integrity. A mentor does not share personal information a mentee has shared with them. If things are confidential, keep it confidential. The Bible calls this letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And when you don't follow through, like we said in the above example, you make it right to the one who's affected. We're not asking for everybody to be perfect because we're all going to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, just follow through, right?
I will say early on in our marriage, I never thought of you not being a woman of integrity. But that part that says let your yes be yes and your no, no.
Uh-huh.
We came together as a young couple bringing stuff from how we were raised. Right?
Bringing junk. Let's just say.
Stuff. So bringing some junk.
Yeah.
There were some good things too.
Yeah.
Bringing some junk. But you were really agreeable on pretty much everything.
Right. Because I didn't want to create conflict.
And that was confusing to me. I thought, but you said you wanted to do this, but you really didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you see where, as you're listening, can you see where in a marriage early on or with a friendship that you're afraid to express your honest thoughts and opinions because maybe you're a people pleaser?
Mm.
Actually, that can damage your integrity with that person.
For sure. Well, let's conclude by, I think we said this early on, but integrity actually builds trust And trust is essential for good relationships. We're all about relationships. And if you want to build good trust, be a person of your word. Be a person of integrity. We came to two verses in Proverbs that actually speak to this from a biblical worldview, but it's Proverbs 10:9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. Just think that's a great practical proverb. Also, there's Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Any closing thoughts on the disease of partial integrity?
I'm a man of integrity. We're not wanting you guys to feel guilty for not being perfect.
Right.
No one is.
No.
When you blow it, it's not if. When we blow it, then you make it right. That builds integrity.
Mm-hmm.
When you blow it with your children, with your spouse, with a coworker, with a good friend, and you go, you know, I did not follow through. My words did not line up with my action, or my actions did not line up with my words. Then you just acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds such integrity in that relationship for you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all for today on the disease of partial integrity. We have some exciting news. Today's podcast, you're listening because of the generous donation of a corporate sponsor, Commercial Brick. They offer quality brick with state-of-the-art colors and innovative textures. If you want to find out more about Commercial Brick, contact them at commercialbrick.com. As always, thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, share it with a friend. Thank you for listening to Real Live Podcasts.